When we had the passage and you saw how broken Nehemiah was when he heard about Jerusalem, I really felt the emotion of that. That was before the preach as well, Michael. That was before the preach. But just hearing it, I don't know about anybody else, but I just really felt that emotion like I hadn't before. And it resonated with me, because as some of you obviously, well, most of you know now, that the process of coming here was not an easy one. And that sense of returning home and what that means has resonated with me in the story of Nehemiah. And so I want to kind of unpack some of that. I can't read that. Sorry, John, what are you saying? This isn't working. Okay. So, all right, that's fine. What's happening, Nick? What am I? Has it just turned itself off? Hang on a minute. This happened with Andy Timperley, didn't it? I did turn it on. Honest, look, it's on. Is it not? Okay, all right. Sorry, Zoomers, if you didn't hear the last part of what I said, but I thought I turned it on. There was a red light. Apologies. Now, so what I want to do is just think this morning through some stages. So stages that I feel you see in this story of Nehemiah. So the first slide, if we could have that up for us, please, John or Jim. If we could have the first slide, that would be brilliant. There we go. So here we go, the pull to return. Now, you may remember last week when we heard the story, Nehemiah's brother and his friends were visiting him and they were updating him on the state of Jerusalem. And I was aware when, way back, I was aware in part of Histon's situation here. And Kate and I had this ongoing pull. I don't know if you remember me saying this, those of you that came to the induction, but there was this ongoing pull upon us to return. And you see that, don't you, here with Nehemiah. There's an overwhelming pull to go back home, to return. Now, this pull for us came in waves, as I said before. And each time we sought the Lord, every time that wave came, we sought the Lord. Is the microphone, it's all right? No? Yeah? What's happening? Honestly. Last attempt. Is it not working? Has it come off again? I pressed a button. I didn't do anything wrong. Honest. Technology obviously doesn't like me this morning. I can stand by this one if that's easier. That's fine by me. I'm happy to do that. Should we just use this one or? Okay. All right. Where the heck was I? Yes, the pull. Yes, the pull that comes in waves. Yes. So we felt this wave of wanting to come back to Histon time and time again, and each time we sought the Lord. Now, I found it really interesting. Thinking about Nehemiah, but also hearing Kim's story. And yesterday we had an away day for the leadership team. And I was talking into Bart and hearing some of his story. And just when God's in something, as Kim said, there's not a great deal you can do about it, to be honest. he'll just keep putting it in your face, you know? And when something is of God, you feel it deeply and you feel it repeatedly. And you can't shake it off. And coincidences, or God incidences, as people now say, begin to happen. So we see within the story, isn't there, there's this pull on Nehemiah. Something deep within him responds to a call, I need to return. So if we could have the slide up again, please, John, that would be great. So the next thing is testing the call. You may feel that you're being pulled some way, but how do we test that? Now, I remember listening to a meditation on Psalm 23. And I think I mentioned this in the induction as well. And I remember listening to this meditation on Psalm 23 around the time of testing this call to return to HBC. And the preacher had said this: to discern whether something is of God and not just me requires a risk. You have to just go with it. You have to go out on a limb, follow it, and see if it is God. And that's not easy, especially when there are ramifications for that. You know? So it's not necessarily an easy thing. But I remember that we prayed and talked with trusted others a lot. And we laid a fleece. You may remember in the induction service, we gave it a year even. We said, no, Lord, we'll not apply. We're going to give it a year. And if it's right to apply after a year, then we'll do it. And that was quite bold of us to do that because we knew that they were looking, but we felt right to lay that fleece. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. If you talk to Kate as well, we went round and round and round. And just like we heard with Nehemiah last week, he just fell on his knees in prayer, didn't he? That was his first response. That's what Michael was reminding us there. And that's what we were doing. We were praying and testing it out. And as I began to push at the door, I remember crying out to God, make it clear, so, so clear. And if you don't want us to be here, shut that door firmly. But if you want it to happen, open the door. And it reminded me of the verse that we heard last week in chapter 1 of verse 11, where Nehemiah, at the end of this prayer, before we have today's reading, today's part of the story where he talks to the king, he prays, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. You see, what comes today in our reading is a result of the prayer. The prayer that Nehemiah prayed when he reached out to God. And when we do feel the pull and we test this pull and this call, we're also probably going to face some obstacles. Okay, so if we could have the next slide, please, that would be great. I'll just move it on. The obstacles. So we'll just have that on for a moment. And then it can come down. That's fine. Thank you, John. So the obstacles. For me to be here, for us to be here as a family, we had to go through many doors or jump through many hoops, whatever expression works for you. And therefore, there were many potential obstacles. Like Nehemiah with approaching the king, there was fear in me. And I remember one particular example was when I had to talk to the ministries team. Now, I won't tell you how many hoops there were to jump through, but because I was still a newly accredited minister, I had to talk with the ministries team at the BU to get the green light from them before I could proceed. Because technically speaking, if you're a newly accredited minister, you are not allowed to move churches. And the reason for that is partly because of longevity. They want to know that you can stick it out in a church for at least 3 years, which makes perfect sense, doesn't it? But you see, here was the thing. When I started this process, I'd been at Braintree for 4 years. So I thought, I wonder if there's wiggle room here. And so I remember praying like Nehemiah, and this was a regular occurrence. I prayed and I prayed and I was saying, Lord, please be with me in this conversation. I don't know if you can relate to this, you know, when you've got an interview or something big, and I was pacing around the field. I was pacing around the field, praying. And in my head, the warrior that I am, I preempt everything that is going to happen. I preempt it all. And I'm like, okay, if this happens, what am I going to say about that? If this happens, what am I going to say about that? Anyway, I had this phone call with the ministries team. And I just want to read a little bit from my journal as to what happened with that. Like numerous times before, when I was faced with a difficult conversation or meeting where much hung in the balance, I feared and outplayed all that might possibly happen, what opposition I may receive. I geared myself up for a fight, only to find that my God already had it in hand. Once again, I was pleasantly surprised by how smoothly it went. I spoke at length about my journey, and Andy just listened. He didn't resist it. He didn't question it, but could see that God was at work and that this was not a rushed decision. He voiced his support of me exploring this calling and gave me some advice. Andy said he would contact the Ministerial Recognition Committee to get the official rubber stamp and would email me the verdict, but he didn't feel it would be a problem. And 2 hours later, in my inbox, was the official confirmation that the BU were happy for me to proceed. Another obstacle removed. There's a 3 exclamation marks after that bit. The door opened a little bit more, expecting the worst but receiving the best, peace and progress. I was so relieved, so speechless. This increasingly feels like God's plan and purpose for us. Like Nehemiah, I found myself after that conversation saying, "And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request." It's what we see here happening with Nehemiah, don't we? And like me, Nehemiah felt afraid. The what ifs were circling his mind, but he had confidence that the Lord had heard his prayer and he pushed at that door. He stepped out in faith. He stepped out of the boat. He was vulnerable and courageous, and the Lord rewarded him. Nelson Mandela once said that courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. I wonder, how often do we allow ourselves to become captive to fear? How often has fear, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the fear of maybe pain, stopped us from having a go? Has stopped us from stepping out of the boat, of pursuing what God has put on our heart? One of the verses, because I found that happening to me a lot, because I'm a bit of a worrywart. I'm much better than I was. Thank the Lord for that. But 1 John 4 verse 18 kept coming to mind, you know, and I kept praying, "Lord, drive out the fear with your perfect love. Cast it out because it's holding me back. It's stopping your purposes from being realized." How many times have we worried and prayed over an important conversation, a meeting, a situation, only to find that the Lord has already got it in hand? Bart and I prayed for someone recently, and he had this song come to mind, and the line was, I've got to try and remember it now, Bart, "Where there seems to be no way, the Lord will make a way." It was something like that, wasn't it? "Where there seems to be no way, God will make a way." So just want to encourage you, don't let the fear overtake you. Don't let it. turn to God in prayer, step out in faith, and you'll be surprised at what God will do. If we could have the next slide, please, John. So the next thing I want us to think about is the timing. Now, the king asked Nehemiah what the timings are. We'll have that down now, please, John. Thank you. The king asked Nehemiah what the timings are. Verse 6, then the king asked me, how long will your journey take? And when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I remember when we were thinking about, obviously, coming to HBC, we'd already thought about when would be right. And I felt that the earliest I could start was September of this year. And I think that's probably the longest notice I've ever given in any job that I've been a part of. I told them in October 2020 that I'd be leaving in July 2021. I've never given that much notice before. And believe me, sitting with that and their upset and shock and disappointment for that time was no easy thing. It really wasn't an easy thing to do. But I really felt it right to stay. And the two reasons why I felt it right to stay. One, I wanted to honor them. I wanted to stay and help them get their heads together and prepare for finding a new minister. And I also wanted to see them through the majority of the COVID pandemic. And you know, I think I said this in the induction, but originally, you remember Boris said it would be the 21st of June that the restrictions were lifted, legal restrictions were lifted. And we'd already decided that the last Sunday we'd be there would be the Sunday, the 18th of July. Well, Boris moved it, didn't he, from the 21st of June to the Monday, 19th of July, which was then term Freedom Day. And we literally, therefore, stayed until the COVID pandemic officially sort of finished, when the restrictions were lifted. Of course, COVID is still with us, so we wouldn't be wearing masks if it wasn't. But I really felt that interesting, that I had felt, prayed, thought that, do you know what? September 21, that's when I'll start. I want to see, I want to honor BBC. I want to stay there and see it through. And God really honored that. God really honored that. We were also aware that our children, it would be good to start when our children need to start school. And Grace was moving up to secondary school, so that made sense as well to start in a September. But I really do think that when God is calling us to do something and we're praying through it and we're thinking about the timings of things, God will work with us on that. I mean, Kim's timings didn't look like they were working and it got delayed. But there's a reason for that. There is a reason for that. And I really do believe that God works in these ways. And he really affirms us and encourages us when we seek to honor people. Weighing up all that is required and making an informed decision, that requires wisdom. And you know what? God gives that generously when we ask for wisdom. He gives it generously. Let's have the slide again, please, John. So arriving and assessing is the next thing to think about. Now, Nehemiah took time to assess the situation. He wanted to see with his own eyes how bad the situation was. He inspected the walls at night and in secret. And there's this beautiful line in the story. I don't know if you saw it in the story, but in verse 12, he says, I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. Before the word was out as to what he was there for, he went out at night with what God had placed in his heart and he inspected the situation. I think sometimes it's right and proper to just hold on to things for some time. If the Lord has put something on your heart, to hold on to it for some time before you proclaim what it is, because it's right to assess and discern, is this the Lord? You know, it's another act of the discernment process. And one of the things I really felt God put on my heart for coming here was to not rush into trying to do lots of things, but to take time to understand the lay of the land, to go round and inspect the walls, to see what's going on. You see, because I haven't journeyed with you for a long while now, and I'm coming into this context, but I haven't been part of the recent history. And so for me, getting to know what's happening is really important. And part of that is getting to know you all. Some of you I remember, some of you I don't, and I'm getting to know some of you for the first time. And as a result of that, we've looked to have people round for dinner. I've looked to have one-to-ones. We had a wonderful away day yesterday. And the away day wasn't a business meeting. It was a walk and a talk and a pub lunch for good measure. And that was partly because I really want to know you. I really want to know what God has been doing in your hearts, what's been happening here at the church. I want to know the lay of the land. I want to understand what God is up to here, and therefore discern with you, where does God want us to go next? Taking time to discern what's happened, what is happening, what are the strengths? Where are the weaknesses? Where are the opportunities and where are the threats? And all of this, in all of this, discernment is key. We'll just have the next slide, please, John. Discernment is key. And this starts not only with observation, but with prayer. And this takes time. But through this time of discernment, we see in the story, don't we, that God had put something on Nehemiah's heart for Jerusalem. And as I continue to wait on God, I feel that he is putting things on my heart for you. I was stirred by Michael's challenge last week to discern five areas to pray into for HBC. And I have encouraged the elders. We're meeting this coming week on Wednesday, so please pray for us. I've encouraged the elders to think about that, to think, what do they feel that God is encouraging us to pray into at this time? What are the five areas? I really want to get to that point where we as a church think, these are the five things we really need to be praying into. Now, I swear I'm not being commissioned by Lectio 365. I know I've mentioned them a few times, but a couple of weeks ago, or maybe in a week ago, they looked at George Müller. Some of you may know of this name. George Müller was born in Prussia back in 1805 and felt God put it on his heart to build a number of orphanages for children who had been orphaned by the cholera epidemic. And it was a really powerful reflection on his life. And you know, one of the things that he said was about building these orphanages, he saw the need, but he did not have the resources. And you know what he did? He did what Nehemiah did. He put it in his heart and he prayed. And he never told anyone how much he needed for the builds, but the Lord provided it. Amazing, eh? Amazing. Now, after years of experiencing trusting in God, George Müller, this great intercessor, shared this advice for younger believers. And I found this really powerful. He said, "Be slow to take new steps in the Lord's service, or in your business, or in your families. Weigh everything well. Weigh all in the light of the Holy Scriptures and in the fear of God. Seek to have no will of your own, in order to ascertain the mind of God regarding any steps you propose taking, so that you can honestly say you are willing to do the will of God, if he will only please to instruct you. But when you have found out what the will of God is, seek for his help, and seek it earnestly, perseveringly, patiently, believingly, expectantly, and you will surely, in his own time and way, obtain it." There's such wisdom in that, and it's such a challenge too. To have no will of my own. How many of us have come to a meeting, leadership, church meeting, genuinely with no will of our own? It's rare, isn't it, if we're being honest. We have our agendas. We have the things we want to see done. We have the things we want to see done in a particular way. How revolutionary would it be if we came with a truly open mind to the will of God and sought him without bringing our agenda and just asking God to bless it? Radically different, isn't it? Radically different approach, a hard approach, a challenging approach, but one that puts God at the center, where we seek first his kingdom and his will. As I've said to you before, it's about fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's about seeking him with all our heart, waiting on him. Before the prayers were prayed, I think the verse was, "Be still and know that I am God." To come to prayer, to come to church, expectant to meet with him. To pray with open hearts and minds, to discern what God might have us do in this season. You see, there are many things we can do. Churches can be very good at being busy. We all can, can't we? But let's take a leaf out of Nehemiah's book. It begins with prayer. As we heard last week, bringing to God the requests of our hearts, being open and honest with him, and waiting on the Lord to discern his guidance. And when you sense what the Lord is asking you to do, you need to test it out. You need to step out in faith. Faith is risky. We've said this before. It requires courage to push at a door and see whether it opens or closes. And you know what? Courage is not only risky, but it's vulnerable. When we test something out, we are vulnerable because we don't know what's going to happen. But when we do this, the Lord will guide and provide. This is what we see in Nehemiah, that the Lord's hand was graciously upon him. This is my testimony as I pushed the doors to come here. It's Kim's testimony as she's pushed the doors to go to Albania. Now we see with Nehemiah that after praying, discerning, and assessing the situation, he feels assured that God is calling him to rebuild the walls. And so he finally feels able to say to the people in verse 17, "Come, let us build the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." And the people are enthusiastic, aren't they? They are enthusiastic to participate in this wondrous vision. But when we do what God is wanting, there will inevitably be pushback as well. There will be resistance. Nehemiah and the people experience this, verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you are doing?" they said. When we're seeking to do what pleases God, the enemy will always look to oppose this. He will look to undermine it and make it difficult. But look at Nehemiah's response to the opposition. "I answered them by saying, 'The God of heaven will give us success.'" And when I read that, I was like, amen. Yes. Amen to that. The God of heaven will give us success. What faith that Nehemiah had. And such assurance comes when we know God is with us, that we are in line with his will, and that he has our back. So that when the hard times come, and they will, we know that it was God who called us to this in the first place. It was tested. It was weighed well, as George Muller said. And God promises to see us through. This whole journal pretty much is filled with my journey over the last year or so coming here. Do you know how many times I had to read over what God had done? I wobbled and I wobbled, even through getting one green light, I go through a door. Yes, Lord. Then I wobbled again. Go to the next one, go through, green light. Yes, Lord. Then I wobbled again. I wobbled a lot, partly because I knew the weight and gravity of saying goodbye to BBC and what it would mean for them. And I wanted to be absolutely sure. But this journal is filled with testimony of God's faithfulness. And I had to keep reading it to remind myself, yes, the Lord has done this. Yes, he has called me. Yes, this is right. Walk in it. We need to remember what God has called us to. We need to have one another to remind us of God's truth and promises and encourage us in the things that God has called us to do. We need each other. This is a team effort, not a solo effort. Nehemiah can't rebuild the walls on his own. But let me ask you this. In your life, who is in the driving seat? Is it you or is it God? In whom do you put your ultimate trust and confidence? Is it in people, yourself or others, or is it in God? Jesus said in John 15, and this is one of my favorite passages, and you probably know it well, the vine and the branches. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to be a people who invest serious time with our God, because any relationship is only as good as the time you give it. Think about any one of your relationships, and I guarantee you it's only as good as the time you give it. Have you noticed that the longer you spend with someone, the more they rub off on you? For better or for worse. Now, the more time we spend with Jesus, abiding in his love for us, abiding in his life-giving words, the more he will rub off on us. The more we will become like him, the more we will become fruitful. So let's be a people who, in the words of George Muller, are willing to be slow to take new steps in the Lord's service, or in our business, or in our families. To be a people who weigh everything well in the light of the Holy Scriptures and in the fear of God. A people who seek to have no will of our own in order to ascertain the mind of God regarding any steps we propose taking, so that we can honestly say we are willing to do the will of God if he will only please to instruct us. And when we have found out what the will of God is, to be a people who seek his help and seek it earnestly, perseveringly, patiently, believingly, expectantly, so that in God's timing and way, we may obtain it. So to help us with this, I want us to pray the Lord's Prayer together, a prayer that radically declares, your will be done. And we remember what Jesus said in the garden, don't we? Not my will, but yours be done. So as we enter into this, I want you to think about your current situation. Where do you need discernment? Where do you need God's help? Where do you want to see God move? It might be in your home. It might be at work. It might be in this church family. It might be something in your personal life, or in a friend's life, or in the life of this church. So in the silence, I want to encourage you to let God bring to mind what is pressing, and then we will pray the Lord's Prayer together. And what we're going to do with the Lord's Prayer is we're going to have it on the screen in just a moment, but I'm going to say one line at a time, and I'd like you to repeat it, because I don't know about you, and one of the things I struggled working in a C of E church for 6 years, they have a lot of liturgy. Now, there is some beautiful liturgy out there, and I'm not anti-liturgy at all. I think it's amazing. But I think sometimes when you become over familiar with something, you can just say it and it doesn't really penetrate. It doesn't really sink in because we're so used to saying the words. So we're going to go through this one slowly and more reflectively. We're going to say one line at a time. But in the silence, let God bring to mind what is pressing for you. And then we will pray the Lord's Prayer together. If we can have the Lord's Prayer on the screen, that would be great. Okay. So repeat after me, one line at a time. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now and forever. And all the Lord's people said, Amen.